Acts chapter 20, I'm just going to read one verse. We're going to continue with the same thought that we were in last Sunday night. Acts chapter 20, stand with me. Just stretch your leg and honor God's word one more time here. Verse 35. As the Apostle Paul speaking to the elders here at Ephesus, and he is actually telling them goodbye. I told you last week he wants this last message of the Lord to be remembered. In verse 35, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. Let's all read it together. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to take full control. Give us liberty here. Help us, Lord. I pray that you would calm all of our hearts. And Lord, work, remove all the distractions. Father, please, according to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to look at this verse again. It says here, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What I want you to remember, again, I'm going to talk tonight about the blessed life, that the Bible does not tell us that it's not blessed to receive. It doesn't say that there's no blessings in receiving. Can I say something to you? That it is, many times, a blessing to receive something. Okay, it's not that there's something wrong when you receive something. What the Bible's trying to teach us here is that it's more blessed to receive, than to receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving. Let me just use this for an example tonight. Okay, if you were hungry and I gave you an apple, that would be a blessing. You would receive that apple, and you would be blessed by that apple. Man, what the Bible is telling us, however, now that's not to be eaten in church. What the Bible's telling us, church, and what I'm trying to get across, what God wants to get across to us through His Word, is that when I gave Samuel an apple, that's what he got, was an apple. He received a blessing, but that's what he got. He got what he received. Now, I'm going to try to do something here tonight to prove my point here. You know that Samuel got an apple. That's pretty obvious, okay? But as I take this apple, okay, and I get it cut up here, and I'm going to pick these seeds out of here. I'm going to try to make a point here if I can. Okay, as I cut this apple up, and I don't cut my fingers, okay, so we don't need to have emergency, stop the service, emergency prayer meeting for the preacher's hands. But, okay, this has to have the most seeds I've ever seen in my life in an apple. Amen, of course. I think there's more in there even. I got to cut this thing again. There's more. There's another one. Okay. Oh, look at all those seeds. Okay, now. There's another one, my soul. I'm not kidding. This thing is a full of seeds. Okay, Samuel got a blessing. He got an apple. Amen. Okay, and it's pretty easy to count. Okay, let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 seeds in that apple. Okay. I can take that apple and cut his up. I'm not going to do it. I can cut his up and I can pull out the seeds in the same way, and I can tell exactly how many seeds are in that apple. He got one apple and he got so many seeds. This apple was one apple, as I mentioned, and it had about 10 seeds. And I had a handkerchief up here, but anyway. So what I'm trying to get you to see, however, is Samuel got one apple with so many seeds in it. However, and that's easy to see. That's a blessing of one apple and so many seeds. However, I take this one seed, and let's say I invest this seed maybe in something, and I put this seed in the ground. Let's just do it. Let's think of it that way. I put this seed in the ground, and I can tell how many seeds are in that apple by looking at them. But when I put this seed in the ground, and it grows to become a great, mighty apple tree, only God knows how many apples are going to come out of this one seed. Amen. You see the big difference? See, Samuel can get one apple, and a few seeds. And he can take those seeds and he can toss them aside like most of us do when we eat apples, or we might swallow them and hope they don't grow in our bellies. But what God is trying to get us to understand is anybody can get an apple and eat an apple and get a few seeds. What God wants to teach us is that if we'll learn to give, invest what He gives us, we can eat the apple, but He's just asking us to take a seed and invest it in something more blessed, more abundant. Any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are going to come out of a seed. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Let me see if I can talk your language. Okay, here's a dollar. Okay, we know how many dimes are in a dollar. I hope you do. Okay? How many dimes are in a dollar? Yeah. 10 dimes are in a dollar. That's exactly right. Now, you can get a dollar, and I can give you a dollar, and you know what you get? You get 10 dimes. That's all you get. However, you can take, God wants us to take, listen, one of those dimes and invest it in His work. One dime out of every dollar and invest it in His work. See, any fool can count 10 dimes in a dollar. I got a dollar. Wow. And most of us would think, well, that's a blessing. But wait a minute. You have no idea how much that one dime can do invested in the work of God for all the world, all of eternity, souls saved, lives changed, by you taking what you've got. Well, I got a blessing of a dollar. Yeah, but God wants you to give. Invest that one tenth of His, what He gives you, and bury that thing in His work. Give that thing to His church, His mission field, whatever it is that God wants you to do with that. And see, you can have a dollar, and you. And here's the good thing: is God says you can keep the 90%. You can keep the biggest portion of it. You can keep this whole apple, and you can eat the whole apple. Just take the seed and invest that seed in something for somebody else, and watch God produce thousands. Thousands of apples for other people's lives. Do you see the difference between receiving one thing, that's all I get, but God's trying to get us to understand it's not bad to receive something, you need it, it's a blessing, but how about giving back and then being blessed that much more through your giving? Through your giving. That's the point of this verse here tonight. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's not bad to receive something. When you get something, don't feel bad. I mean, don't feel bad like you did something wrong. Oh, I'm not supposed to receive. I'm supposed to give. No. It's just more blessed to give. It's nothing wrong with receiving, okay? Anybody can receive also, but God says you won't get as much of a blessing by just receiving. Like some people, that's all they do is receive. Are you with me? They live their lives receiving. They're looking and they live their lives trying to find somebody to give them something. And their lives are really not very happy. They're not fulfilled. Because God says, yeah, that'll bless you for now. But once that apple's gone, then what? If you'll learn to give a portion of what you receive, then you'll learn to be and you'll see God's blessings far above anything you could just eat in one for, you know, in His case, in a few seconds. One apple's gone, the seeds are gone, I'm telling you what, but you take it and you invest it, and God says it's nothing wrong with receiving, it's a matter of being more blessed by learning to give. And now turn over to Mark chapter 12. Again, we talked about this little widow last week. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And following. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. God knows what you're giving, by the way, or what you're not giving. He cast money, and many that were rich cast in much. And Jesus just yawned, and like I said, He went on with His day. It wasn't impressive to Him. Can I say something? The reason for that is not about the amount that you give. It's about the heart behind it. God wants you to give what He wants you to give, yes, but not so that other people can see how wonderful you are. It's a matter between, it's a personal matter between you and God. Amen. And so Jesus, you know, he's just watching and he's watching. And then this little lady, like I told you last week, she shows up and she puts in her last two mites. I told you that's not even equal to a dime. That's not even equal to a penny. But it was what was so impressive about it is it wasn't just a tenth of what she had. It was all she had. It was all she had. Why? I told you last week, she understood through this, we can see that she understood who God is. She understood that I need more than what I have, but because of that, I can't afford to not give it to God. If I try to receive this and keep this to myself, I'm going to have two mites, and that don't last long. But however, if I learn to give it to God, knowing who God is, then I'm going to receive so much more than just two mites. Instead of eating an apple, or instead of having $1 and spending it all on myself, I'm going to spend 90 cents of it, which is a good deal, I think. God's a pretty good God, isn't he? And he says, look, I just ask you to give me 10% of what you make, of what you have. Give it to me and I'll bless it. And the 90%, first of all, will go so much further. And then the 10% will produce more blessings in your life than you can imagine. The apple is good for a while. The dollar's good for a while. But the little lady said, you know, and we talk about many times, I can't afford to give my dime. I can't, you know, it seems so, a dime? Well, sure, I can give that, no big deal. But then it becomes a dollar. Then it becomes $10. You see, this not real. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to give a dime, unless it was your only dime to your name. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to give a dime out of a dollar. Well, I'll toss that in the plate. No big deal. The faith comes, and when God gives you more. Okay, and then he expects you to give back to him the same percentage of what he gives you more. And then see, he's giving you more. Amen. He's blessing you more than you would ever have keeping that little dime. But the thing is, he's testing your faith at the same time and proving your heart whether or not you're really going to give and trust him. And again, we talked last week, giving, the secret to the blessed life is giving. And giving, number one, proves, we said last week, that you know who God is. That God, you understand that God is almighty, all-powerful, the owner of all things, and he doesn't have any problem giving you back way more than you ever could give him. He doesn't have any financial difficulties. His bank is never closed. His account is never overdrawn. Amen. He owns it all. Amen. So when you learn to give, the first thing you're learning is that who God is. Amen. But secondly, tonight, when you learn to give and you start seeing blessings, it's because you're going to learn, second of all, not just who God is, but who we are. See, this little widow said, I'm nobody. She understood, I'm nobody. I don't have much money. I'm a widow. My husband's died. My children are gone. I don't have much to give. But I know that God can take what I have. And I know that even though I'm not very rich, and even though I don't have much to give, I know myself that I can still receive blessings from God by giving to him. She understood who God was, but she also understood who she was. See, those other people were giving of their abundance there in the temple. They were giving what they had left over. That does not honor God. That shows no faith at all. It shows you don't know who God really is. He deserves to be honored. Amen. Honored with the first, like I said last week. He deserves to be honored with our best. He's God. But when we learn who God is, it's amazing. Turn to Psalm 100. When we learn who God is, at the same time, we'll get a good idea of who we really are. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 100. The blessed life is the giving life. Learning who God really is. And then as we do that, as we learn who God is, we will begin to learn and understand who I am. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. It ought to make you glad to be able to give. It ought to make you glad to be able to give according to God's plan, God's method. Again, you got your apple, you got your dollar, you got your dime, whatever you say. Did I give you that dime? Okay, give me that dime back. Okay. You're not God. I've got my dollar, I've got my 10 dimes, I've got my apple, I've got my seeds, okay? I have a choice. I can serve the Lord and I can be glad the fact that I have something to give, like I said last week. I have something to give to Him that He's given to me anyway. It came from Him anyway. That apple, he didn't get that apple, I gave it to Him. Amen, this dollar didn't come, I didn't make that dollar, I got it. God gives us what we have and we learn to serve Him with gladness. It's a joy that we can have something to give back to God, and it blesses our lives in so many ways. But read on here. It says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know ye, in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Now stop right there. That's what we talked about last week. Learning who God really is. Listen, He is God. He's God, church. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs, whatever else they say about Him. He's God. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Why? Because He is God. Know ye, he says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. When we learn to serve the Lord with gladness and we learn to give to God like He wants us to, we begin to know that this is not just some scheme that the preacher's trying to get rich on. We understand that this is God's will that we give. And then, notice, it is He, in verse 3, that hath made us. See, we've learned who God is. And then we realize that we begin to understand who us is. Yeah, that's not good grammar. But I hope that I'm just helping you understand, keeping you awake tonight. The fact is, we learn that He is God, and then when we get that straight, we'll have a much better understanding of who we are. I realize then that it is He that hath made me. Now stop right there. That sounds so simple. That sounds so logical. But yet that seems to elude a whole lot of people. It is He that hath made us. Notice the next phrase. And not we ourselves. Isn't that amazing that the Bible has to tell us that? Like, the Bible needs to remind us that it was God that made us and not we ourselves. I would like to see you try to make a person. Go ahead. Out of the dirt. Go ahead. I'd like to see you form that body and those bones and breathe breath and have that person walk around. I'm not talking about a robot. I'm talking about a person. And the Bible has to go as far to remind us we didn't make ourselves. But it comes with us first learning who God is. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. Listen to me. I begin to realize that I am not my own, that I am part of His people. I am part of His creation. I am His child. I belong to His kingdom. I belong to God. See, when I learn who God is, I begin to learn who I really am. The blessed life is a giving life, and a person who has learned to give has learned who God is, and through that they also will learn who they are in light of who God is. Quickly, you will learn, first of all, when giving and learning to trust God, learning who God is, learning who you are, you'll learn, first of all, how special you are to God. We are His people. We are His people. We're not nobodies. We're children of the King. Now, it's not to get puffed up with pride, you understand, but we are special to Him. We are His people, and He is our God. We are not homeless beggars in this world, always trying to get by. We need to lose that attitude of this Christian life is such a drag, such a hard. No, it's not. Listen to me. The way of the transgressor is hard. The Christian life is victorious because He is my God and I am His people. Amen. I am a special person. God knows my name. He knows everything about me and He loves me anyway. Amen. He heals the broken heart. He lifts up the wounded. He gives strength to the weak. His grace strengthens the weary. He helps those that are helpless. He gives hope to the hopeless. And listen, we are His people. Amen. When we learn to give, we learn who God really is. And then we begin to understand how special we are to Him. We're His people. He loves us. He's not asking us to give because He's a stingy, greedy God. Are you kidding me? We're His people. He's our God. And He loves us. And He's asking us to do something for our own sake, so that He can bless us, so that He can provide special, abundant, above anything we can even ask or think. We're not dealing with some ogre, some stingy, mean ogre, mean grumpy old grandpa. We're dealing with God, and we are His people. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's a blessing to me. Amen. We're special. You know that you are somebody to God. Amen. You're somebody to God. You may not think you are. I don't always think I am, I guarantee you. But that's a wrong thought process, because I always am. And so are you. We are His people. He is our God. We have been bought at the price. We are His people. Now, He's asking us to do something for Him. But wait, not even for Him so much as for ourselves. But He's saying, you do this for me, and I'm going to do something so special for you that you can't even imagine. We are special. And I say something. I have a human, earthly father. And if He called me tonight and said, son, I need you to do something for me. You know what? I would bend over backwards. Because He's special to me. Because He did so much and does so much for me still today. And I have memories of my father, and I know some of you just don't have that relationship with your earthly father. I wish that it was different, but that's nothing but sin and devil. That's not God's fault. Amen. Don't ever blame God for the if you have a rough childhood or a father who doesn't love you. But I have a dad who wasn't perfect. I have a dad who, but he preached the gospel, still preaches the gospel. He tries his best to live for the Lord. We don't agree on everything, but if he called me today and said, son, I need you to do something for me, I would find a way. I would bend over backwards. I would crawl through broken glass. Are you listening to me? Because He's my father. Amen. And He's done a whole lot of things for me for many years that I didn't ever deserve. I mean, I always had food on the table. I always had a bed to sleep in. I always had a place to go home to and clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. And some of you had to say, if your earthly father said, son or daughter, I need you. I need your little help right now. I hate to ask you, but I need, and you would bend over backwards for that loved one. But listen, I'm not talking about just a loved one who is sinful and has many faults. I'm talking about a God in heaven who has never done anything but help and heal us. And He says, now give to me that which belongs to me. And not only that, but then He says, I'm going to bless you so much. Listen, but we ought to just stop for a minute and realize God doesn't need our money, but He does want us to give it to Him so He can use it for His purpose. And we are His people. It's His purpose. We're His people. We ought to learn to give according to His plan. God says, I'm your heavenly Father. I love you. Our nature, listen, our nature is to be stingy, tight-fisted. God's not. He's a giver.
Amen.
And when we learn about God, we learn who we really are, that we're special in His sight, and that we should live for Him. And again, God only asks for a small portion of our total. We get to keep the 90%, amen? We get to keep the 90%. We still ought to spend it wisely and be faithful managers of His money. It's still all His. He's only asked us to give back to Him so that He can bless us, so that He can grow our faith, so that we can learn who He is, so that we can learn who we are. Every time we don't want to give it back to Him, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Every time we hold back on what God asks us to give Him, with the promises, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Religion works on fear. Motivates people with fear of judgment, terror of hell and judgment. But listen, I'm talking about God who motivates us and wants us to be motivated by the fact that we're His people.
Amen.
And we don't have to fear. We're His people. Quit comparing God to somebody else that you know on this earth. He's nothing like that. And I know it's rough. Again, I'm trying to be very sensitive. I had a loving mother and father and a home that was safe and secure. Many of you just didn't. I know that. I know that. But don't compare God to that which you know as a child. Don't forget that He is God. Remember, that's what we're talking about. Number one, we understand He is God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is not that person or that person or that person or that person. He's God. And then when we understand that, we understand who we are in His sight. We're His people. We're special. We're His. I belong to Him. I'm a child of the King. We understand how special we are. Quickly, we also understand how small we are. Look in verse 3 again. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, it's still His pasture, but understand the symbolism here is we are sheep. We're small, weak, slow, hard of vision, unable to defend ourselves, sheep. If He doesn't feed us, we don't eat. If He doesn't lead us to the water and the food, we don't eat, we don't drink. If He doesn't provide for us, we don't have it. We won't get it. We're sheep. A sheep can't even see from here to the back wall. A sheep can't outrun a wolf. A sheep can't find his own food. A sheep can't find his own drink. A sheep can't protect himself. A sheep is a small, insignificant little animal that needs a shepherd always. Or else they're just open prey for any predator out there. We're sheep. We're sheep. We're His sheep, of His pasture, but don't forget, nevertheless, we're sheep. And it makes us understand how small we really are, how insignificant we really are in the whole scope of things. We're His sheep, but we depend on Him for everything. We depend on Him for every single need we ever have.
Amen.
We're sheep. We're not lions. We're sheep. We're not roaring kings of the jungle. We're sheep. Before you got saved, you might have thought about how strong is survival of the fittest. But now that you're saved, you understand, I'm a sheep. If He doesn't help me, I'm doomed. If He doesn't feed me, I starve. If He doesn't provide, I don't. Well, see, I can go to work and make my own money. Oh yeah, until he takes your legs out from under you. Until He gets you fired, until your car breaks down and you can't get there. You understand? We are sheep. We're small. We can't do this on our own. We need to do it His way. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll be back to Psalm 100, but John chapter 10. Verse 10. Jesus speaking here. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, I'm come that they might have life. Now that's salvation right there, but wait, that ain't it. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He says, their abundant life is on this earth. Eternal life is in heaven, yes. We're saved forever, but the abundant life we're all going to have abundant life in heaven. Are you listening to me? We're all going to be on the same plane in heaven. But in this world, in this life, the blessings are only going to come in abundance to those that learn to give. And he says, I've come that you might have life, yes. I've come that you might be saved, but I want you to have abundant life in this earth. How? On this world. In this life. How? Because in verse 11, because I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but that's you and me. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. See, here's what the devil does. Listen to me. A hireling is someone who does what he does simply for money. Jesus did not do what he did for money. He did it because he's the good shepherd. And because he loves his sheep. He says the hireling comes, and not the shepherd, and they're not his sheep. He's just doing it for money, for personal gain. And he says, when the hireling in verse 12 seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. Coward. Someone who's in it for themselves, and they're not in it to pay a price. They're not in it to sacrifice anything. They're in it for themselves. They're in it because somebody hired them to do it. And Jesus says, wait a minute, that's not what it's all about. I'm the good shepherd. I'm not a hireling. The wolf catches those sheep. The wolf devours those sheep, scattereth those sheep. Hey, listen, but I am come, the good shepherd. In verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Listen, I'm talking about Jesus being a good shepherd, but we're sheep. Amen. Nobody's paying him to do what he does for us every day. And there's no predator on this earth that can scare him away. Amen. None. He says, I know my sheep. I give my life for my sheep. In other words, I'm not running away in a trial. I'm not running away and leaving you just because a wolf comes. I'm not hired to do this. I do this because I'm the good shepherd giving my life for the sheep. That's us. Sheep. So you think, I'm a lion. No, you're a sheep. Go ahead. Learn who you really are. We need to get this. He's God. We're not.
That's right.
He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. The roles always want to be reversed. We want to tell God what to do. We want to lead God. God, this is where I'm going to go. Please go with me here today. No, God, lead me where you want me to go. Different prayer, isn't it? God, do you want me to work this job? Then you lead me. Not God, I'm going to take this job. Please go with me. That's you being the shepherd and trying to make him your sheep. That's not the way it works. That's not the abundant life. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. We are His people. We are sheep of His pasture. He owns the pasture too, by the way. Isn't that good? He owns the pasture too. He owns those. He leads me beside the still waters. He owns the waters. He owns the pastures. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, they're His anyway, amen? Thank God, He owns it all, and I'm just a little sheep. But thank God, I'm His sheep, amen? He's my shepherd. Yeah. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm somebody in Christ. Amen. I'm special to Him. But I don't need to let that go to my head because I'm still a sheep.
Amen.
I'm still a sheep. When I learn who God is, I learn who I am. I am special. But it's also humbling to remember, boy, I'm nothing but a sheep, and if He doesn't lead me, I'm doomed. Or if I don't follow, I'm doomed. Folks, giving our tithes and our offerings to God is us following our shepherd. As I told you earlier, He's the good shepherd. He laid down His life for the sheep. That's a giver.
Amen.
That's the biggest gift you could ever give.
Right.
Your life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. There is no greater gift than that. And Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down His life for who? For us roaring lions? No, for us little bitty sheep. Because He knew that we must have a good shepherd, because the rest of the world is nothing but a bunch of hirelings. They're in it for themselves. He's in it for us.
Amen.
See the difference? And when you learn to give, you learn who you really are. This is my shepherd. This is my shepherd. I mean, I'm nothing but a sheep. But thank God for my shepherd, though. I'm special. I belong to Him. But I'm still just a little sheep. And it's humbling, I know. But it's also, I think it's glorious when you just get over yourself.
Amen.
And realize, you know, you know what I need to do to have an abundant life? Follow Him!
Amen.
Stop trying to get Him to come along on your side with you and your plans. Follow His plans. What a blessed time that's going to be in your life when you overcome the thought that you're going to lead God. Stop trying to lead God. Follow Him and let Him lead you to the abundant life. Part of that, it all starts right there with giving. You got to give.
Amen.
Give of your pride. Give of your will. Give of your desires and say, God, I'm just going to follow You. Because after all, I'm a sheep. Now, a shepherd can come out and look for you, and Jesus has, by the way, He did that when you got saved. He left the 99 and found you hanging on the cliff just about ready to fall over. Amen. He left the 99 and went out to find the lost sheep. That was you. That was me. Amen. Then He brought us back on His shoulders and put us in with His sheep, His pasture, His fold. Amen. And glory to God, now we're supposed to follow Him, learn who He is, and then who we really are. We're special, but we're still just sheep. The person who won't give to God what God deserves and what God asks for, even when they know that a blessing is waiting for them, is a person who still thinks they're God. They still think they're in charge. They still think they can do better with their money than God can. You say, that's crazy. I would never think that way. Watch it. Wait till it's time for this. We'll toss an apple and we'll toss a dime, but wait till it's time for this big chunk of money that belongs to God. Who's following? Who's leading? You got to know who God is. Remember who God is and you'll know who you are. And boy, victory is found in following. Stop trying to lead God around by the nose. He's not following you. I mean, thank God He's not following us, huh? Where in the world would we be today if He was following us? But yet, that's what people seem to think with their money. I'm going to lead God around. God, I'll give you. But anyway, we learn who God is. Then therefore, through that, we learn who we are. We're very special to Him, but we're still just sheep. Go back to Psalm 100, and I'm finishing up here. Psalm 100, verse 2 again. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Now, wait a minute. Let me just sum these verses up quickly for you here. I'm to serve the Lord. I'm to serve the Lord with gladness. I'm to sing before His presence. I'm to be thankful and bless His name in verse 4. I'm to come before Him with thanksgiving and praise and be thankful and bless His names. His name. Lastly, the last thing I want you to see here as I close this message tonight is not only how special we are and how small we really are as sheep of His pasture, but listen to me. When we learn who God really is and what God wants from us, we can't help but see how sinful we are. Now, this is not shouting grounds, I understand that, but it does help us learn who we really are, because look, if I'm supposed to serve the Lord with gladness, do I? And I'm supposed to sing before His presence, do I? I'm supposed to come before Him with thanksgiving and be a blessing to Him. Am I? You can't help but see how far from what we should be, how sinful we are. Because, listen to me, all I'm trying to say is this. I don't do those things naturally. My natural instinct is not to come before the Lord with singing. My natural instinct is not to serve anybody but myself, especially with gladness. Serving with gladness, that's not my natural instinct. You see what I'm saying tonight? So obviously, when I read something like this, I realize, wow, that's not me. I'm not glad. As a matter of fact, I'm not even really serving God. And when I do, I'm just doing it because the preacher wants me to. And when I do go to church, I don't really sing. And I surely don't sing outside of church. Or if I do, it's wrong junk. It ain't blessing and honoring His name. I'm not thankful. I'm not coming before Him and blessing Him and being thankful. So you see, all of those things make us understand that's not my natural me. I am sinful. And all of that does is turn it around and make us understand how thankful we should be for a Savior. For a Savior who loved us anyway. Remember how special we are? We're still sinful, but we're still special. You see, when you get a hold of all this, it's humbling. It's convicting. But it's so helpful to understand this dollar bill. What does this mean, really? It's just God teaching us some things. Amen. Teaching us who He is and then who we are. I mean, this money, not mine anyway. And I'm a sinner. I'd spend it on something I didn't need anyway. I'll waste it. I'll blow it. This money, this dollar bill, could go towards a missionary and where he could preach the gospel. Somebody could get saved. Amen. A sinner like me needs this money to go to God. And that's how you take a dime and instead of wasting it on yourself, you give it to God and let Him bless it. Let Him multiply it. Let Him take it and multiply it in other people's lives, not to mention your own. Because after all, I'm so far from where I need to be. I'm a sinner. Who am I to think that this money is mine? Who am I to think that this money belongs to me? It don't belong to me. I couldn't make that money. I don't even know how they print that money. It's all God's. I'm nothing more. Yes, I'm special to God. I am a little sheep, but I'm a sinner, and I'll mess it up every time I try. I'm just going to give it to God like He said, and let Him be God, and let me realize and be thankful that even though I'm a sinner, He still loves me, and He still wants to bless me, and praise God, I'm going to do it because that's exactly what He wants me to do, because after all, I'm just a sinner saved by His grace. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm just a sinner. You're just a sinner. We do so many things we're not supposed to do. And we don't do the things, like I said, we don't do what He wants us to do. And you can't help but just stand in awe of how great a God He is. And how much He deserves. Listen, I'm done tonight. Turn to 1 Chronicles. I know that's in one of those little obscure books. Turn back to the left, though, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. First Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10. David and Solomon, and they had finished the temple there. And in verse 10, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, "Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." You see, he's blessing His name. Remember, I just read that to you in Psalm 100. "Thine, O Lord," in verse 11, "is the greatness." Whose is it? It's God's. "And the power," whose is it? It's God's. "And the glory," whose is it?
God.
"And the victory," whose?
God.
"And the majesty," whose?
God.
Not ours, it's God's. "For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is," whose? Thine, it's God's. "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." Is He really in our hearts? Amen. "Both riches and honor come of Thee." Where did they come from? From God. "Thou reignest over" what? "All. And in whose hand? Thine hand is power and might." Boy, I think David knew a little bit about who God was. "And Thine hand is to make great, to give strength unto all." I think David had an idea who God was. "Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name." See, he knew who God was. Therefore, in verse 14, he knew who he was. He says, "But who am I? Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" He says, "God, who am I that I should be able to give back to You? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee." See, this is a man who understood giving, because he understood who God was, and therefore he understood who he was. He says, "Lord, who are we to give You anything? It's all Yours. It's all Yours." The blessed life is not found in pleasing yourself. The blessed life is found in giving God that which is His anyway. Because you know who He is. and you know who you are. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your love and your grace. And Father, I ask that you'd forgive me for the times that I forget who you really are. I pray, Lord, for these dear people here tonight. Some of them are still trying to learn, Father, who you really are. I pray you'd help them. I pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, would move in their hearts. Lord, giving is not a curse. Giving back to you is such a blessing, such an honor. It's all yours anyway. Help us to stop worshiping ourselves and start worshiping you, our God. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be your people, for letting us be the sheep of your pasture. And God, forgive us for how often we're so sinful that we neglect to do and be who you want us to be. I pray you'd bless this invitation, God. In Christ's name we pray. Let's all stand to our feet tonight as the piano begins to play.